Was it all part of his plan? Or was it real? I don't know anymore. I continue to stare down at her casket as it makes it to the bottom of the hole. It feels strange to bury her here. She wasn't even born in East Point. It's just the latest in a long line of places we've moved to over the course of the last 16 years. I don't know where she was born, though, and I don't know how to find that out. So I guess I have no other choice than to let her be laid to rest in the place she died, in the place Thomas Kincaid permits her. My fingers clench into fists. A familiar figure hovers at my back as I stand at the edge of the hole in the ground.
Miss,
the groundskeeper says, but I ignore him. He and the priest have asked me repeatedly to step back, as if they're afraid I might throw myself into the hole in the ground along with my mother. I can't say the thought hasn't crossed my mind, but I'm not that far gone. Not yet. After all, there's still him. Almost as soon as I think of him, Luke's hand closes on my arm.
Mickey?
I close my eyes against the wind and suck in a deep breath. I'm fine, I croak out the lie without thinking. He pulls me against his chest and closes his arms around me.
No, you're not,
he says. I try to resist. I really do. But his warmth is so damn hard to not want, especially when everything around me feels so fucking cold. He's everything keeping me together right now, and everything I don't deserve. I never have.
He's a fucking asshole,
Luke mutters, confusing my grief for something else. I don't have to look around to know he's right, but I also don't care. She might not have seen it, but I've always known that Thomas Kincaid had only ever wanted my mother for one thing, her beauty. This whole show of him paying for her funeral is just to keep up appearances. It's enough for him to open his checkbook, but not for him to show up. Her alluring complexion with her naturally tawny skin and her big eyes and petite waist had made man after man approach her, not even caring that she was carting me along. Thomas Kincaid, though, was her biggest catch, and moving into the multi-million-dollar mansion with his son had been the best thing to ever happen to me, even if I hate the man who owns the house. I cling to Luke like one strong gust of wind will yank me away from him. The tears wet my cheeks as they slowly slip down. My heart thuds in an inconsistent rhythm inside the prison of my ribcage. There's a question neither of us has asked aloud yet, but one that pervades every second that has passed since we learned of my mother's death. What happens to us now? Luke rubs his hand up and down along my spine, spreading warmth from him to me. I squeeze him closer, tighter. I know I'm being clingy, but it's hard not to be. Who else do I have?
Miss Michaels?
Both Luke and I freeze at the sound of that voice. Vomit threatens to come pouring up my throat. The last time he came, he'd brought with him horrible news. And now, though it's not necessarily his fault, I associate Ken Carpenter with dread. Luke's hand drops away from my back as I turn and face the man who ruined my life a week ago. He nods his head respectfully at Luke before turning his gaze to me. Like everyone else in attendance, all four of us, including the groundskeeper, the priest, Luke, and myself, he's dressed all in black.
Mr. Kincaid would like to have a word with you,
Mr. Carpenter states. My insides churn. Why isn't he here? The question comes pouring out before I can think better of it. Ken Carpenter doesn't react. He merely remains silent, a sign that even if he knows the answer, he isn't comfortable saying it. I wonder if his face ever shows positive emotion. I've never seen the man smile. Not a real smile. I release a sigh and completely step away from Luke.
Mickey.
Luke reaches out and touches my arm, reaching down and lacing my fingers with his.
I'll go with you. I'm sorry, Master Luke,
Mr. Carpenter says.
But Mr. Kincaid would like to have a word with Miss Michaels in private.
Luke's hand tightens on mine. Discomfort.